The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Increase our faith. Is that not also what we want? Wouldn't we like to have a stronger faith? Maybe with more faith we could like believe more fully or trust God more faithfully. Or maybe with enough faith we could do some of the things that Jesus or the great saints did. Isn't that also a desire of ours, to have more faith?" Well, in today's gospel, Jesus gives us some images to help us understand how to increase our faith. He gives us the images of salt and light, examples that, in their depth and in their characteristics, teach us about how to grow our faith. In the ancient world, salt was critically important for many reasons. And for us today, it's much the same. We use salt for taste. It makes things taste better. Like if you have caramel, and you have salted caramel. Salted caramel is so much better or luxurious than just ordinary caramel. Or if you have steak. Steak is good, but add a little salt, and it enhances the flavor so much more. That simple element of salt adds so much to the flavor of foods. Well, that's the same image that Jesus uses today. That flavor that should add a little flavor to our lives. The goal is that with our relationship with God, our lives are not just mundane or boring. They add something. God adds something different to our lives that make them more joyful or adds more to it. There's something that adds to our lives because of our relationship with God. To help you understand what I mean, I have a few examples. So the first one's kind of strange. It's a 13th century saint by the name of Saint Hildegard of Bingen. She was highly criticized in her time because she was a little bit forward, more forward-thinking than other people. In the midst of her life, she was able to study philosophy, theology, spirituality, mathematics, medicine, plants, animals, and astronomy. If it was there, she tried to study it. And keep in mind, she's a nun of the 13th century. That wasn't what got her criticism. Her criticism was because on big feast days, she would have costumes and hats for the nuns to wear, so they'd have this big lavish party. And the other abbots and abbesses went, "Sister, you can't do that. You're a nun. You're supposed to live simplicity and poverty." And she said, "It's a feast day. We celebrate." So even though she may have been criticized by the others of her time, she was still the advisor to three different popes and sought after through all of Europe for her wisdom and understanding. So she might have some wisdom for us. We are people who must celebrate. And the spice of our life, the salt that gives us our energy, is to celebrate our faith. In a contrasting image to that, we have in our second reading today, St. Paul. St. Paul is a man who, once he had that massive conversion, he could not see his life outside of Christ. He even has some statements like, "To me, life is Christ," or "The power within me is God who dwells within me." Everything he did, from his preaching to his missionary efforts to his zeal and energy, was all from Christ. And he made that point very clear in all of his letters. There is nothing but him and God. He does not exist. It's Christ that lives in him. So these two images give us a sense of what it's like to have our lives seasoned by the salt of Christ, have our lives be different because of our faith. The challenge is, how do we let that flourish? How do we season our lives like that? The answer is simple. It's through prayer and study. Through prayer, we come to know God. We come to realize that relationship. We come to realize the things God has done in our lives. We come to desire to glorify him, to praise him, to spend time with him. That's what our life of prayer does. But it must be informed by our study, that we dive deeper into the mysteries that we celebrate. We let ourselves read and study more about what we believe so we can see the signs and symbols. We can understand what it is that we do. We come to know God's ways better, so it informs our way of prayer. The two come together, prayer and study, that we may come to know God more and let our lives be cultivated, changed, transformed, seasoned by our relationship with God. The analogy of seasoning goes further than that, though, because the example given by Jesus was not about our lives, it's about all the other stuff that's out there. You are the salt of the earth. And in that way, Jesus did not anticipate us to just sit here and hang out and have our good lives with him and whatnot. Really, our goal was to be outward thinking, that because we have been enamored, changed by Christ, we go out with that to transform the world around us. The best example I can give is the Great Commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The two must come together. Love of God and love of neighbor are the two ways we come to really know God's power in our lives. The example I want to use for this is another 13th century saint. Her name is Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, and she was Queen of Hungary. As queen, she wanted to dedicate her life to the poor, to caring for the people of her kingdom. And so she spent excessive amounts of money establishing things like orphanages, hospitals, and soup kitchens. Her husband and father were very upset by that. They criticized her for spending too much of the royal treasury on the care of the poor. She didn't care. She even went so far that she would make the food that she would give to the poor and distribute it herself. When she knew about people who were really, really sick in the hospital and no one wanted to visit them, she went and cared for them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the president went and cared for a really sick person in the hospital? It's just unheard of in many situations. Nevertheless, when her husband did eventually die, she sold all of her royal garments and gave that money to the poor. Her whole life was directed to the care of the people around her. Another example of what I mean comes from the 20th century. St. Teresa of Calcutta, better known as Mother Teresa. The example I want to use is very isolated. She cared for the poorest of the poor. And in her time, she was ostracized by the people she served. They didn't like her. While she was bathing someone, caring for their wounds, or feeding them, they would ridicule her, harass her, and call her names while she's caring for them because she was so lowly to them. But she endured it. Why? Because to her, they are Christ. To her, they're the love of her life, and she wants to care for them. The same thing works for us. As we hear in our first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, God commanded us, even in the Old Testament, to treat the people around us with great respect, to have a love for the people around us, to desire their good. And by doing so, we come to know God more. That builds our faith. By seeing the people around us cared for, by reaching out in charity and knowing that God's power in our lives is affecting people around us, we become the salt of the earth. So that's where we should be challenged, to season the world around us with our faith, to let it glow with a new light, to really transform the world by what we have experienced. Salt had other uses in the first century, and one of the major innovations was preservation, which we still use salt for preservation today. It's the most common thing found in almost all foods. But think about it for that time period. If you were a farmer or rancher and you wanted to sell your food, you had a very limited amount of time before it spoiled. But if you salt it, now you have more time, which means markets flourished. The ability to sell produce and meat vastly increased because of the use of salt. In the same way, though, salt can be a preservative for our spiritual lives. And it's hard for us to understand that, so I want to use an example, and his example is very strange, and that's St. Augustine. St. Augustine of Hippo is a man who had such a strange life. He had like massive levels of conversion all his life long as he strove day in, day out to preserve virtue, to preserve the graces in his life, to preserve his faith in the midst of all the challenge that he incurred. If you want to read about it, he wrote a really long autobiography called The Confessions, and it's very detailed. He gives a very strong account of his life. He even goes so far that in the first few chapters, he explains that when he was an infant, how many of us remember our lives as an infant, that he would long for something, so he'd cry until he got it, knowing that he longed for food or the simplicities of life, or there's something in him that had this great longing. Realistically, he's probably reflecting on it, not really knowing what it's like to be an infant. Regardless, the quote I want to use really emphasizes that longing within him, that desire for something more, that really cultivated his entire life. He says, this is a truncated quote, "Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You called, you shouted, you broke through my deafness. I breathed in and I panted for you." This is that desire within him, a desire to preserve God's goodness, to preserve his faith, to preserve the virtues and graces God has given him. The same thing works for us. The salt works as a preservative in our lives too. It reminds us of the need to cultivate in our lives a sense of God's goodness and hold on to it, that our faith is not something that kind of comes and goes, but something worth holding on to and persevering through our life to the very end, holding on to it, preserving it to the very end. So let us work to preserve the goodness that God has given us, work towards a life of virtue, and realize those graces God has given us. The final image that I have for salt is salt as a luxury. We don't think of it that way because salt is the cheapest spice you can buy. It's so common we throw it on our roadways. That's how cheap salt is. But nevertheless, in the first century, salt was immensely expensive because it was used for such things as preservation, increasing the taste in food, and starting fires. It was very highly sought after and very expensive. Cities like Salzburg were named after salt because they had a big salt mine. That's how important salt was. Now for us, because it's so common, it makes a nice contrast between Jesus' image and our modern day, reminding us our faith is not common. It is a luxury. It is a gift, something worth preserving. The person I want to use to help you understand faith as a luxury is not a saint, but he's up for canonization. His name is Bishop Francis Xavier Nguyen Van Tron, and he was the bishop in Vietnam during the fall of Saigon. Once Saigon fell, as a bishop and now in a communist party, he was arrested and imprisoned for 13 years, forced into hard labor, and treated very poorly. During his time in prison, he was able to write some minor letters and little notes to people to keep them joyful and hopeful. That was his goal. The guards sometimes had pity on him and would give him a crumb of bread and a drop of wine so he could celebrate Mass. That's all he got, and it was at their whim. After 13 years in prison, he was put under house arrest for 8 years. Then, in 1997, he was called to Rome, where, as he left the country, the officials said, "You're no longer welcome back. Don't ever come back." So for the rest of his life, he spent it in exile. So from 1981 until his death in 2007, he could never return to his diocese. This reminds us of the value of our faith. We can go to Mass kind of wherever we want. It's kind of when we want it in some ways too. We're not being forced into labor camps. We're not being arrested. We can pray at our leisure. We have a lot of freedom. So our faith is a luxury. But more importantly, our faith is a gift, and that's why it's a luxury. God gave us our faith and continues to help us let it grow if we work with him. We can't be stopped. God can continue to help us worship him wherever we are. We can continue to pray wherever we are. There's nothing that stops us. That's why faith is a luxury. And we need to realize that in our lives, the joy of what we have, to live it well and to be able to express it well, that we can live it well in all of our lives and change our life and the people around us by this joy of our faith. So I challenge you, reflect on this image of salt. Salt as flavor, adding spice to our lives, adding a little extra to our very existence, and how it helps us to preserve the graces within us and make us reach out to the people around us. How it guides us to realize the beauty of what we have and to celebrate that with great joy. This is what Jesus commands us with. He encourages us with this image of salt that we may continue to persevere in our faith and seek him to the very end.